Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'm going to talk about a couple of things. The first one being that I believe, as I've said before, and continue to believe, that communists and fascists are essentially almost the same. I'm going to just further elaborate on that. And then I have a couple of other little things to get to after that. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So the first thing I want to talk about, and it's going to be most of this episode, is this idea, as I've stated before, that communists and fascists aren't nearly as different as we're led to believe. So, you hear a lot of times in the media and on social media, people trying to act like there's this great gulf between communists and fascists and they'll never mix. But the reality is that communism and fascism are almost, but not quite, the same when it comes to rhetoric, and basically the same when it comes to practice. So, communists focus a lot more in their rhetoric on the people, the state, equality, da-da-da-da-da. Even though equality in communism, just as in fascism, is as real as a $4 bill. Like, there's no equality in communism. Fascists, they tend to focus more on, you know, the state, nationalism, racial stuff, like the folk in Germany, that kind of thing. At least in their rhetoric, that's what they focus a lot more on. You know, white supremacy or whatever ethnic group supremacy. And so if you just look at that rhetoric and you don't look at history, you don't look at practice, you don't look at anything like any of their actual policy positions beyond that, and you just glance at it for like 10 seconds, I can see why you would think that communists and fascists are inherently very different. And since a lot of people do tend to only look at politics for 5 or 10 seconds around election season, I can see why that would be appealing or persuasive to some people, to think that those ideologies are very different. But here's the reality. A Venn diagram of the two ideologies would look more like a set of very badly drawn panda ears. There would be very little to no middle circle, because you could literally just write the same thing on both sides, on both circles, and you would still get the message. As I've said, rhetorically there's a difference, but if you're looking deeper than that, because both systems, both ideologies want big government. They both want either nationalized industries, especially among communist states, or a very corrupt industrial landscape where certain actors are allowed to thrive, but very little else is. So basically state corporatism. They both want to throw anyone they don't like in a gulag or some kind of camp, even if they don't call it a gulag. A gulag was a Soviet term, as anyone who's lived under a rock should, and doesn't know that already, should know. And they both, you know, they both want totalitarianism. They both will have a party that all the elites, all the leadership belong to. Sometimes joining the party is mandatory, and sometimes just large percentages of the population join it. But either way, only the top really have much of a say. And they both, you know, have very heavy restrictions on what you're allowed to say. They both have heavy restrictions on speech and press. They both have very heavy religious restrictions. And sadly, in both cases, the truth is often very heavily restricted, if not banned outright. That's especially true in communism, but even in fascism, it can happen. I mean, Hitler wanted to replace the church with his own thing. He just tolerated the church as a means to an end. If heaven forbid he had won, he could have potentially tried to replace Christianity with his own faith that he created, or whatever, if you can call it that. At least that's what some sources would suggest. And so, you know, both types of totalitarianism also are about expansion. I mean, Nazi Germany conquered much of Europe, especially Western Europe, tried to conquer Russia, failed, conquered Poland. China is looking to invade Taiwan and has already taken over Tibet, Hong Kong, and I want to say there's something else, but I can't think of it offhand. The Soviet Union, like, obviously it expanded quite a bit. I mean, Russia controlled a very large area that now consists of, I believe, 15 other countries, and one of those, Ukraine, is currently at war with Russia because Russia's trying to take it back. And Russia tried to conquer Finland in what's called the Winter War. A lot of times we don't learn about that in school history, but it was around the time of World War II. So it does often get overlooked. Germany also tried to conquer Britain, failed. Japan was essentially fascist too. It did have an emperor, so it might be a little bit different, but a lot of its policies and practices were at least akin to fascism, like its racism against Chinese and other non-Japanese people, its territorial ambitions. Japan conquered much of the Pacific in World War II. Invaded the U.S. So both systems are about expansion. Italy conquered parts of Africa. Some of that may have been pre-fascism, but still. So, you know, and that's especially telling when you hear self-described communists and other far leftists meow about imperialism till the cows come home. You always hear them yelling about decolonizing and colonizers and indigenous this and colonized that and imperialist this. I know that because, sadly, I used to be a leftist, so I was in those circles. And so when you hear them talk like that, but then the system that they support engages in the very expansion that they're yelling against, although they probably deny that. Actually, I think they do often deny that. They say it's propaganda, because they have a whole revisionist history that they believe, especially the self-described communists. Sadly, I used to be one of those at one point, so I know they have an entire revisionist history that denies that communism ever killed anyone, suggests that communism has never been tried, and this and that and the other. But the reality is it has, and it looks a lot like fascism. And, you know, some will say that in fascism, not all the people in the camps are direct political prisoners, and that is true. But that's also true in communism. A lot more of them are political prisoners, and they may not imprison minority groups as much, but I have to say as much, because in China, they have camps specifically dedicated to torturing and re-educating Uyghurs and other minorities and using them as slave labor, especially Muslim minorities. And in North Korea, This is not a racial group, but in North Korea, they have the three generations rule, where if you have a family member that does something the government doesn't like, you know, says something the government doesn't like, is not loyal enough, tries to escape to South Korea, successfully does so, whatever. If you have a family member that does any of that, you can potentially be thrown in a labor camp, or you can be born in one if the thing happened before you were even born. So if your grandmother, your great aunt, your uncle, your dad, your mom, your brother, sister, cousin, any of those does something the regime does not like, you can essentially either be born in a labor camp or be thrown into one, depending on whether it happens before you're born or after. And you can be stuck there potentially the rest of your life. You can be essentially turned into a slave. You can even be executed for little to no reason. The conditions are more brutal than you can imagine. Starvation is rampant. So, yeah, both communists and fascists engage in a lot of the same practices. This means that, in practice, they look and sound very similar. That's what I've called this ideological fade. And I continue to call it that because that's essentially what it is. When you take leftism or rightism and you distort it, you make it so extreme and radical, it eventually gets to a point where it is distorted beyond recognition. And so that's what ideological fade is, which is why the traditional line political spectrum with the dashes and all that is not adequate. It may be for more moderate perspectives from, like, you know, suggesting that the left is more in favor of progressive social change as they see it. The right is more in favor of not breaking things, not fixing things that are not broken, preserving tradition, family values, freedom of association, free market, small government, limited government, hard work, etc. While the left, as I said, they favor, like, bigger government, they're more accepting of certain sins of the flesh, they want the government to do things that are not supposed to be the government's job, as I would see it, but they think it is, like providing health care and such. You know, if you want to use the line with all the dashes to suggest a difference there, then maybe that would be adequate. But the entire political spectrum does not fit neatly on that line. It needs to be, I've said before, it should be a wheel or a cartoon sun, even a horseshoe would do, because eventually you get so extreme that you and your opposite extreme, so if you're a fascist, then you and a communist, or if you're a communist, then you and a fascist, become almost identical in beliefs and practices, if heaven forbid your country descends into one or the other. And, of course, also the spectrum does not consider usually things like things that are a bit outside the generally accepted progression, things that don't map as well onto traditional American politics, like anarchism, which obviously just is complete chaos, even if they might argue it's not. Monarchism, believe it or not, there are a few people that do consider themselves monarchists in America. That they're not a very large amount, but they do exist. People like me that are conservative libertarians, and then you have the more traditional libertarians that are in favor of more socially liberal they do have a more socially liberal outlook. And so you have a lot of groups, even outside of the two most extreme groups we focused on today, that don't map well onto the traditional line-shaped political spectrum that we're used to seeing, that we learn about in government class, that we see floating around social media, etc. So I did want to mention that, but the main thing I wanted to discuss is essentially that communism and fascism are almost completely identical in anything below the surface. The difference is essentially skin deep, because the only main difference is the rhetoric that they use to justify overthrowing the government and implementing all the changes that they want. But the changes that they make are generally pretty much the same. And they both have the same results. They both lead to totalitarianism, poverty, death, destruction, and basically conditions that no one would sign up for. They both have propaganda that try to suggest that their country is the best country in the world. Because even if communists don't focus as much on the state and nationalism in their surface level rhetoric, when they actually build countries according to their ideology, a lot of their propaganda does tend to focus on their country being the best country and all the other countries being enemies, or one particular country being enemies. So like in North Korea, a lot of their propaganda tends to act like the U.S. is public enemy number one. And like there's always a chance of invasion, even though the rest of us know that nobody's looking to invade North Korea. Like, I think most countries would rather dig for gold in the middle of the Sahara Desert than invade North Korea. I think most countries would rather dig holes in the ocean than invade North Korea, honestly. But North Korean state propaganda makes the people live in fear that they're constantly about to be invaded. And obviously, as I've covered before, fascism tends to focus on their country being the best country in the world. Their propaganda can focus more on bringing back what they used to have, on returning to the glory that they once had, you know, like in Germany, for example. But even former communist states, and current ones probably, could engage in that too. I mean, Russia, when it was the biggest country in the Soviet Union, you know, it had all these other countries linked with it to form the Soviet Union. And now Putin, in current Russia, is saying he wants to bring back the old Soviet bloc. That's part of his stated reason for invading Ukraine. And obviously the Soviet Union was communist. So even that distinction is blurry. So in short, communism and fascism, there's no real big gulf between them like we're often led to believe. If you really examine them for more than 15, 20 seconds, you start to see that they're pretty much identical, because when you become so radical and so extreme on either the left or the right, your ideology becomes distorted beyond recognition, known as ideological fade, to the point where you and the person on your opposite extreme sound almost identical, even if the two might publicly hate each other. So then the next thing I want to get into real briefly, and I mean real briefly, is just, as I've stated before in my episode on the shutdown, or as I like to call it, the partial government stoppage, because a shutdown, as I said in that episode, implies something much more complete than what's actually going on. A lot of people are blaming one party or the other. You have Democrats who say that because the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House, it's a Republican shutdown. And you have Republicans saying that it's a Democrat shutdown because the Democrats have certain crazy policy priorities that that they are trying to include in a budget, and that because the Republicans don't want to include those, that it's a Democrat shutdown because the Democrats are shutting the government down over them. I don't know if I believe either fully, because I can see both sides here. Obviously, I don't support healthcare for illegals or whatever, but I can see both sides as in, yes, the Republicans do control the House, the Senate, and the White House, obviously. However, comma, some of these bills, like budget bills, do require 60 votes. And when you only have 53 Republicans, where you got to get the other 7 votes from? The Democrats. So, both parties have a hand in it. I don't think you can just blame one or the other. And so that's all I want to say about that. And then the last thing I want to say is apparently there's been a controversy about a group chat. And people are losing their jobs over it. And all I'm going to say is, because I'm not going to take this too seriously here, the group chat controversy itself has already been covered more than it probably needs to be. So all I want to say is this. This, and I am partially joking here, this is further evidence of what I've been saying for years, that the inventor of the group chat should go to jail. Because if we didn't have group chats, then we wouldn't have this annoying controversy. You can't get fired for what you say in a group chat if there are no group chats. But because he decided to invent group chats, now we have this dumb controversy. So, therefore, he should go to jail. That's all I'm going to say about that. And so, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. You can also send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a guest, please feel free to reach out. I would love to have a guest. And please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested and come back next time. We also have a Ko-fi page, so if you'd like to help support us, no pressure, but we would really appreciate it at kofi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Thank you so much for listening, and have a blessed day.